live on United Public Radio Network. Michael Angley live. It is August 22nd, 2019, in case you forgot. And we're going to talk about the BS that's going on in our government here in the United States of America, your government there in the UK, your government there down in Australia, all over the world, man.
And he built,
you know, we all have the same problems.
And he,
we have scumbag politicians running our government. And I think that's pretty much the gist. People ask me, what's your political background? You know, or what side are you on? I love these questions because they're always trying to either get you to agree with them or get you on something. Me, I'm a mixed bag. If you listen to the show, you know that I think I'm pretty down the earth, middle of the road. When it comes to being realistic, I don't like bull crap. I don't, because it gets in the way of your life. I don't like to see my money wasted being sent to places where they use it to kill people. Yeah, I definitely don't like that. And I think that as people, we all want the same. It doesn't matter if you're a liberal, it doesn't matter if you're conservative, it doesn't matter what the hell you are, progressive, you know. People confuse progressives with liberals. Don't call Bernie Sanders a progressive. He's not, man. You know what? He's not. And if you do, I'm going to hunt you down, man. And I'm going to hunt you down and do be like the pie guy, hit you with a pie, man. But the bottom line is, of course, I would never waste a pie in your face. The bottom line is, we live in a world of agenda-oriented politics, push and pull. People who are self-interested, self-inflicted. They're all victims, it seems like, you know. Whenever you hear these politicians talk, they love talking about being a victim. You know what I mean? Or they talk about they represent victims, you know. The bottom line is, with most people, like San Francisco, huge homeless crisis. L.A., Portland, Oregon, New York City, all these places. Chicago, huge homeless problem. These are all the big liberal cities. So if you listen to liberal politicians specifically talk, they're always talking about they got to help the poor. You got to be there for these people. They're the victims of society. Yeah. But what do they do for them? All these years, you know, I used to hang out in Far Rockaway, Long Island, man, you know, Queens, actually. And it was a very challenging place for people to live, you know. And I had friends who lived there, ended up hanging out there. And I'll tell you, you learn, the only way to learn about life is to experience it, you know. And if you sit in your ivory tower, you don't know how people in the ghetto are living, how people in trailer parks are living, how people in the gutter are living, or people live in tunnels are living, you know, because you don't see it. You don't experience it. You might see a blurb on the news. Oh, yeah, you know, but they're more busy talking about money, the news, right? They're all money oriented. Your local news, different. It's just the news. They don't really give you, blast you with opinions like CNN or Fox or MSNBC or any of those crap hole channels, because those guys are self-interested and they're all about the money and their advertisers and making the money, and also at the same time pushing their party's agenda, right? Fox now is in a transformation. Fox used to be really conservative and now they're going left. And they're going left in an extreme way, which I think that it was Rupert. All right, so Rupert Murdoch's son runs Fox News Corp. ABC and Disney. Well, Disney owns ABC, so let's say Disney. Disney bought most of Fox Studios, you know, but they couldn't buy the news function because they already have ABC News, and that would have been a conflict of interest for them to have control of the two networks, right? Anyway, Murdoch's son is not like Rupert Murdoch, the father. You know, he was very conservative. Well, this guy is totally different. And I think that he just wants to bang it out and chase the audience away. When someone reaches out and they put the worst possible heathens in the world on there, you know, like Donna Brazile, who was a DNC chair for a short time, after the other one had to resign because of all the Hillary debauchery and the election, and then, you know, the lies. The three women ran the thing, you know, and they all lied through their teeth, and they all deceived, and they all did their thing. So that's the part that people on the left don't understand or acknowledge, you know. I guess acknowledge is the better word. And when I listen to them talk, if I tune into CNN, right, and Donna Brazile was fired from CNN for feeding Hillary Clinton questions from the debate, presidential debate, right, and giving her the advantage and the edge of knowing the questions beforehand. So whatever, okay? Donna Brazile, lowlife, lying, cheating, thief. You know what? Fox is a host to hiring people who have been fired by other networks who are debaucherous, you know. And Juan Williams is another one. He was on The Five. I guess he's still on The Five. I don't watch The Five anymore. I gave up when I saw Donna Brazile there every week, every day last week. And then I was like, you know what? This is what you're doing to your audience. Are you going to really make things so uncomfortable that your hardcore, loyal audience is going to just turn a channel off, you know, and say, like, what the hell are you doing? That's Fox. And I know that people like Greg Gutfeld or whatever, he's just a network ass kisser. He's a failed comedian, and then he found his niche. You know, everybody has a niche. He found his niche on Fox, trying to bridge the gap from old to young, getting younger people on board with a little bit of humor and whatever. It's a chicanery, man, really, because he's pushing a political message and then trying to come off like a lamb saying, hey, come on in, we're funny, we're having a good time. Anyway, I don't like corporate ass kissers on any type. When people ask me what my politics are, I tell them I'm a pirate. And that's pretty much the essence of it. You know, I'm on my own ship, and my crew on the ship is mine. And then the cannons face out. And then I don't trust politicians. Not on any side. I don't care, because to be one, you have to be this big lying, cheating thief to begin with. You know, they're the ones who cut each other's throats. Look at our elections here in the United States of America, how they tear each other into pieces, you know, and just expose everybody's dark side. They got nothing nice to say about each other. And the Democrats are supposed to be the nice party. This is what they say anyway, right? This is bull, talk about BS. It, you know, we care, we whatever. They you know, call themselves the smart party, which is pretty damn funny too. And whenever people reference themselves as smart, no, I'm really smart. You know, even Trump did that, you know, like, no, I'm really smart. I'm a genius. Okay. You know, if you guys tell people that, then I think you just lost that bet. You know what I mean? But with the Democrats, they kind of just sit there and they threaten people for votes. They say these people are going to take your rights away, you're not going to have anything and whatever. A lot of the times, especially in these terrible areas, those people don't have anything anyway, you know. But the media is mainly right now slanted left, and there's only a couple of media outlets that was, you know, if you can consider conservative. There's nothing that's in the middle of the road on cable news. I'm not seeing it. It doesn't exist, you know. So the power of the media to push a story, especially pushing a story or a narrative to people that believe it automatically. It's like talking to a bunch of little children that really have no head for asking questions necessarily. They're just going to believe what you tell them. And I was never that kid, I have to say. I had to question. I got a lot of trouble in my life questioning basically everything I was told, because a lot of it, you know, I learned a lot of history from my family. Big, long Italian family, very opinionated, you know, and most of them were Republicans for many years. And it's, you hear the real stories about history, and you have family who served in World War II who were there. The people that experienced life, though, not the ones who sat, you know, and wrote the books or whatever. I'm talking about the people that went out there and did it. I had a lot of family members that went out there and did it. And then it's interesting. And then their friends. I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about, you know, I grew up around all these old guys who were like, who served in World War II. And they all congregated, you know, they all hung out together. And you got to hear their stories. You got to see how they did their things. These guys were gentlemen, and they were gallant, and they had pride, and they had honor, and they had courage. And it's not because of a war. It's because of who they were. They were real, you know? And they went out there and did it. They went out there and experienced life. And then they knew what the hell they were talking about, because they knew the territory. There's an old saying that the map is not the territory. So you have a lot of mappers out there, people that don't know. And they're going to talk like they know. Don Lemon, on CNN, right? You're laughing right now. I know. He's a mapper. He's not the guy who traversed the territory. He doesn't know. You know, he can just talk. He talks crap. He's also a disgusting human being, in my opinion. And this is from the stuff that he's done. I got a pet peeve. I'll tell you what my pet peeve is. This guy was actually at a presidential, you know, that the press dinner when Obama was in there, right? And, you know, there was like people talking back and forth, and he was at a table, and then somebody referenced him, and he put up his middle finger. You know, you got the president in the room, you have all these other people who are supposedly the people who run our country, and just your peers. Your writers, the journalists, if you want to call them that, because there's a lot of things you the words just don't match the item. You know what I mean? Journalist, really? Musician. There's a lot of things that you got to say to yourself. Well, the artist, you know, is it? Are they? And that's the big question. So anyway, he puts up his middle finger. And then people are kind of like, nobody reacted like laughing. Ha, 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 look at Don Lemon being so cute, putting up his middle finger and giving the finger to the president and all these people around. Ha, ha. You know what it was? It's of low character. And it's something that I don't like. It's something that triggers it. When people go on there and take their selfies, like giving the finger and whatever, I don't know what their point is. Or they're trying to be cool. If they think that's cool, I think that's probably their biggest problem in life, you know. And nobody wants to be the 53-year-old guy, you know, looking back at himself when he was 16 doing the same thing, saying, look, I'm the same as I was 16. You want to be the 53-year-old guy who's going to mature and learn about life and the mistakes you've made, learn from those mistakes and move on, and that type of thing. That right there is part of the golden rule, you know. But we live in an era that the media has a lot of power, and these sheep are going to flock to watch these channels, no matter what they are. MSNBC's got their flock. CNN's got their flock. And Fox can get the flock out of here right now, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't like Fox to begin with. There were people on there, like Sean Hannity. I don't like him. You know, that Tucker Carlson. I don't like him. You know, there's people I can't freaking listen to. There's no reason to. As far as I'm concerned, I judge them as bad people. The Michael Angley that you guys know and love is somebody that will look at somebody and say, well, this is your character. And we know this about their character. I don't care what they say. I don't care what their words are. I don't care what they're trying to sell, because they're all salesmen. They all sell. You know, do you know Sean Hannity has a Bible decoding book that he sells on his radio show? He doesn't even bring it up on the TV show, which is interesting, probably because that people need to be laughed out of existence. But there are people, the ones who listen to him, they believe in him. They believe in him. And he'll take some bunk saying, I decoded the Bible, and if you buy this decoding book, you're going to make riches beyond your imagination. I'm going to share that with you. Snake oil salesman. It's a snake oil salesman. He didn't have any decoder or nothing. You know what he did? He put something together so we can rip people off. That's Sean Hannity. You want to know Sean Hannity? That's Sean Hannity, you know? So with me, I'm all about results. If you could tell me there's a Bible decoding book, and if you use it, you're guaranteed success, I want to see it. I want to see it. Where are the results? Oh, you don't have any results, because nobody ever made money off your bunk, because only you did, because you're the one that sold it to them, you know? So commercials are full of people like that. The world is full of people like that. If someone has a dollar, there's somebody right next to them who's willing to take it away from them any way they can. They'll lie, cheat, and steal sometimes, or they'll sell you something good. Sometimes people make a nice hot dog for that buck. You know what I mean? $2. $3. Hot dog is these days. You know, nothing's a buck anymore, is it? So it really comes down to character. What's your character? So there's people I like. There's people I don't like. There's people that are completely toxic that I want to keep out of my life altogether, 100%. And that's people like Don Lemon, you know? who I talked about last week, is his lawsuit going on, that, you know, he was at this place and then, you know, Sag Harbor, and there was a guy that he didn't like, and I guess they, you know, the guy was being nice to him, but he put, Don Lemon put his, apparently, allegedly, put his hands down his pants where he's wearing shorts, fondled his genitals, took it and stuck his fingers in the guy's face. That's the guy that was at that, you know, press dinner, press corps dinner with the president giving the finger. That's that guy. And that's his character, you know? And then, you know what? A lot of my audience likes Trump. A lot of my audience doesn't like Trump. You know how I feel. If I have to defend policy, that's one thing. But Trump, the guy, I don't like, you know? And is he funny? Sure. Is he entertaining? I guess. I never watched his show, The Apprentice. I wasn't into that. But I like real people. And to me, I don't like his character. He's just somebody that, you know, and I guess, you know, for the president, we all have a notion, like when we are young, you know, and I'm old, you know, but when we were young, our parents would say, well, my mom would say, you know, act like the president, be like the president, you know, and the president is supposed to act loyally. He's supposed to have respect, you know, self-respect and respect for others. Supposed to be a great communicator and a master uniter, to unite people together. An executive office, somebody who's out there making decisions for people, representing them and making their lives better. You know, not dividing, no nasty comments, not getting down into the trenches with losers and having these slugfest fights. You know, there are people that like that aspect to him. I don't. I think it's unwarranted. I don't think that it's befitting of the respect of the presidency. And I know it's hard to say that. George Bush, Obama, these people disrespected the office. You know, Barack Obama, they just bought a $15 million mansion. Another mansion, right? Martha's Vineyard. It's interesting that... I think it's his fourth, you know, and then, yeah, they're making a ton of money. They got book deals from his presidency and, you know, Michelle got book deals. They got like a $65 million book deal. So they have the money. I will never begrudge somebody out there who makes the money or however they get the money and through honest means to go out there and buy something for yourself. That's the essence of capitalism. If you have it, you know, that's cool, right? But politicians, there's a certain thing with me. With politicians, if you know, especially somebody who was president, who was making these deals, I don't know, man. I guess you're going to make money off your popularity, and they know that to begin with. This is one of the reasons why I think that campaign contribution should be taxable. You know, that you make the contribution, but the politician has to pay the taxes on it. You know, or the political organization, they say, well, it's a contribution, it's charitable. It's not charitable. It goes for somebody getting a job, you know, and sometimes that job paying off millions upon millions of dollars. And these guys are all about taxing people. But just to see them and doing their Netflix, making movies, you know, and here's another $15 million mansion. These are the people that stuck up for the poor, but they didn't. They talked all kinds. They're still doing it, right? The ghetto and poor people. What are they doing for poor people? When Obama was president for 8 years, what did they do for poor people? What did they do for the middle class? He hurt people and just basically shamed people on being an American. How dare you? How dare you, you know? And talk about racist. They call Trump racist. But Obama made multiple comments about white men clinging to their Bibles with their guns. He got involved in, you know, a disrespectful line of speeches where he would be out there just putting people down. Or, you know, he referenced the white men who lost their cushy factory jobs, you know, who can't support their families anymore, basically, right? And when you listen to, you got to listen to not the words, but the meaning, you know. Say, how dare you be upset because you can't afford to feed your family anymore? You know, how dare you be upset because I've run the country into the ground and the economy into the ground, and you guys, you know, because you remember the first several years of Obama, for a few years anyway, and then several years,
I mean, he claims that this economy is booming because of him, but really it's not. And it's funny how on his way out, he said the economy is terrible. It's going to get worse under Trump, but now he's taking the credit for it. So I guess if it's something good, he'll take the credit. If it's something bad, he doesn't want the credit. But I'll tell you, to shame people for being born in their own country and wanting certain things for their families, you know, wanting to keep their lights on, wanting to keep their cars running, you know? I mean, like this stuff that, I mean, he's wealthy, and he was wealthy. He was a wealthy attorney. Now, then he was president. Now he's a multimillionaire, right? Think about the concept that here's a millionaire lashing out at you because you're poor, and you're angry about it. So you shouldn't be angry that you're poor, or just give up altogether and go on welfare, right? And that doesn't work, you know, and this is what they kind of preach. So the Democrats like to compartmentalize people. They have their groups. They got the blacks, they got the Spanish, they got, the transsexuals, transvestites, the lesbians, the gays, whatever. And they speak to those groups in particular. If you look at the makeup now of the ones running for president, and you listen to their speeches, the stuff they said, and especially Fox, who actually is giving so much airtime to them, it's unusual. I mean, when a guy goes on there who has 0%, like a Cory Booker, 0%. He's not going to be a front runner. He's not going to be a back runner. He's not running at all, right? And you have him on Fox for 20 minutes just ranting about how what a scumbag Trump is. That doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help anybody, nobody. And this is the same guy who was mayor of Newark who did nothing for those people. Instead, he blamed Republicans. And isn't that the game? Blame the Republicans, you know, or the Republicans blame the Democrats. So the recession fears being pushed right now by the left are hurting people, and people are panicking. Wall Street panic. Wall Street is all about fear and loathing. If you know about the stock market, you know it's all about fear and loathing. They want to know what the hell's going on. If they have an inkling of fear, then this thing is going to go down, and that thing is going to go up. And then, oh, no fear, confidence, all that thing is going to go up, and that thing is going to go down. You know what I mean? Most people out there, regular old people, do not play the stock market. They may have a portfolio, and they may have long-term, you know, something, some long-term investment or whatever, but they're not out there daily playing the stock market, right? So they don't really have a head for what's going on. And like with me, it was an interest of mine for a while, you know, of just understanding how the whole thing works. But, and I learned about fear and loathing, you know, and then, you know what? There's been a lot, or so since Trump took over, about $8 or $9 trillion of new money in the market, you know. Has that helped people? I see jobs that were created, 5 million jobs in a couple of years. You know, under Obama, those jobs were lost. I mean, every month there was reports of hundreds of thousands of jobs just going out the window. A lot of those jobs went overseas because they had specific rules in place that didn't protect the American worker. You know, and this is what happens. Or you have foreign workers coming in. I like it when they say that we have 1.5 million jobs open, but we don't have qualified people to do those jobs. But you have a lot of people sitting unemployed still that could be qualified if you trained them to do those jobs. And that's what we need. We need that middle ground transitional connection. You know, the thing that's going to take the people from an entry level and give them experience and knowledge that they need to get to the level of operating and functioning in those jobs. We don't need people from other countries coming in doing that. You don't need it. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help our economy. And those guys come in and they take the money, they send it home. Money goes back. Money goes out. Suitcases of money going home to their home country to support their families there. That's fine. Doesn't help us here, you know. So, but the recession fears, the left is going to say anything. You know what? With Trump, the Russian thing didn't work, right? Collusion didn't work. obstruction didn't work. They keep going after him like piranha, like a big pack of piranha attacking some cow, some big fat blonde-headed cow floating down in a river because he's stuck in a flood, you know, floating in the swamp, and got thousands of piranha attacking from every angle. Then you've got this amplification feature of the media. The media is pushing these stories. And then you have all these people out there. I see it on Facebook. And I have friends who are lefties. I have friends who are righties. And I got friends in the middle. And then I have friends who are burned out. They don't want to hear a goddamn thing about it. They just want to live their life. You know, they want to live their life. Their lives are hard enough as it is. They don't want to hear about politics. It frustrates them. And I think that's the stress and the disharmony and the low morale going on is because you don't have anybody uniting. Now, Trump is in a perfect position to unite people, to unite them, and not the incendiary talk, but to unite them. But it's a game of politics, and he doesn't want to appear to be weak. He wants to go after the Democrats and go after their throats, you know, because they're all nibbling away at him like a bunch of piranha. Now they got racism. He's a racist, you know, maybe. I don't think so, though. I think that he's got his moments, that's for sure. But I know stories about Trump where, like, you know, he gave an office to Jesse Jackson so black people can have an effective presence on Wall Street. And Jesse Jackson asked him to do it. He did it. He gave them money and attended the meetings. Doesn't sound like somebody who wants to thwart, you know, the black race, right? But the recession fears, when the media comes out and they use their power base to spread lies and fear, you've got to question those organizations, their validity, and even if they have the right to do it, you know? Because when they're proven wrong, there's got to be some kind of punishment if people get hurt. You know, if you go out there and slander somebody, for instance, a private person, let's say you're on television and you go and slander some private person. And we've seen this a lot. We saw it with the Make America Great kids and that Indian who was in their face and, you know, the black Israelites who were making fun of everybody, calling everybody names or whatever. And then they took those kids and they slandered them, man. They, you know, especially that one. All through the media. Now, they're suing everybody. They're probably not going to get anything for it. But there's got to be some kind of retribution for regular old people when they take a hit like that from a large media outlet. But, you know, in real life, just talking about people, not people who are above the law, because let's face it, most of these politicians, most of these people in the media moguls, CEOs, all that are above the law. You know, Epstein, how he operated as a pimp with underage girls. You know, look at his girl, that Maxwell, right? If she was a male, she'd be in jail right now. She'd be locked up like he was awaiting trial. But she's running around doing photos, whatever, doing interviews, kicking up her heels. And that's the tragedy of our justice system, a tragedy, you know, because justice is only applied to people who don't have anything. You know the guy in Staten Island who got choked out by the police officer, right? Now they just fired the cop. First they cleared him, and then they kept him for a while. Then they fired him. I'll tell you, man, I'm somebody who calls a pig and a war a war. I'm never going to mince words, and I'm never going to say something I don't believe. I watched the video of that. That guy was out there selling loose cigarettes in the city. We call them loosies, you know, in poor neighborhoods. There are people that'll go up and buy one for a quarter or whatever the hell you get, two for a quarter, you know, and they sell loose cigarettes, right? They told this guy to stop. He's out there again. Sure, go ahead. Give him a ticket. Send him to court. But the guy wasn't combative. He put his hands up. This short cop, short stocky cop, the one who killed him, got on his back and choked him out. He choked him out with a stranglehold, and the guy died. The guy kept pleading for air, putting his hands up. That cop should be in jail for murder. He murdered that guy. He knew what he was doing. And those other cops who stood by and did nothing should also be arrested and arraigned. But they fired the guy, and now you have the right people coming out. They're on the right side. Oh, my God. You know, the guy didn't do anything wrong or whatever. Yeah. You can say that because you're alive. You're still breathing. You know, the guy's dead. His family is without him, you know. So what? Guy's selling loose cigarettes. Big freaking deal. How many politicians commit bold-faced crimes every day and get away with it? How many CEOs commit bold-faced crimes? Oh, yeah, Prince Andrew hanging out with Epstein and the young girl, the underage girl, you know, and her saying she had sex with him all over the freaking world, right? You will never see those people punished. Mark my words. They'll take the hit. They'll take the black eye. They'll laugh about it with their friends, you know? But you will never see them punished because they don't live on our level. The people. We are the people. Go out and try to commit a crime right now and see how long you last. See how long you last before you get charged and dragged through the court system and have to stand in front of lawyers and have judges and whatever, you know, all that. Right? But not for these people, because they're wealthy, they're above the law, you know, and nothing ever happens to them unless it's blatant. And right now, the centerpiece, the guy is, Epstein is dead by interesting, weird, you know, his cellmate was this ex-cop from Yonkers who's in jail for committing a quadruple homicide from criminals that he hated. And then here he is with this dude, and they moved him hours before they find Epstein dead. Hours? They said a day, but it was really hours, you know? So whatever, man. Now the feds are looking to drop in the case against Epstein because it's a corpse. And then that's going to have heavy implications for everybody involved. So they're all going to get a pass. They're all going to go away. And then don't all that evidence they collected, you're not going to see any of it. You're not going to hear only the naked, the picture, the painting of Bill Clinton in the dress, you know, yuck, right? And it really is an expose into how low people are willing to go. And these are the ones who make decisions for you and I. These are the ones who tell you how to live, what to do. They're making decisions for us. And they're not worthy. They are not worthy. They are not decent people, not by any stretch of the imagination. If you want to really put it out there, they are evil. Evil. All day, all night long. But they do it. They do it to each other. They do it to you. You know, Hollywood, corporate world, politicians, they're all on that level. They all cover for each other, all on that level, right? Prince Andrew, I was never with him. I was never in his place. I've never visited. Yeah, they got pictures of him coming out of the joint, going into the joint with the young girl in question on the plane. The pilot testified he's on the plane multiple times. Bill Gates, too. Bill Gates. You know, man, and it comes down to responsibility. And where the hell were the parents of these girls the whole time? These girls, you know, they apparently that Epstein had three 12-year-old French girls sent to him in a private plane so he could molest them and whatever for a day and send them back. You know what? All that stuff should never have happened. There should have been people looking out on every angle. But the ones with the big bucks can pay off anybody, anytime, anywhere. And money talks and bullcrap walks, right? So you are being controlled. If you're watching CNN and you believe anything they say, come on, man. Same for Fox. You're being controlled. You're being controlled, and they're pushing a message at a certain angle against you and using your emotions against you and your friends and your families. How many of you out there have lost family, friends, connections with people because of this political nonsense? I know a lot. I know a lot. And these are relationships that are going to have to be mended one day, hopefully, you know, but there are people out there that really just reject others because of this political stuff, right? So, you know how the Depression was crafted? And it didn't just happen. It was crafted. You had a lot of these robber barons who owned big corporations. They had all the money. They owned everything. They owned the railroad. They owned the power companies. They owned everything, man. You know, any factory, people that worked for factories got paid in the money from the factory, the company, and then shop at the company store. Company money only be used at company store. It's like going to Disneyland or Disney World, right? Get Disney dollars. Yeah. Can't buy weed with Disney dollars. Or maybe you can. Maybe. Maybe you can find a Mickey Mouse in there that's a little crooked. But or Tigger the Tiger, he's got something going on. He's got some cocaine. You know what I mean? Yeah, Woody the Pooh. I don't know. One of them got some weed. But it really is, they work for the company. They throw a bone down. People would fight over it under deplorable conditions, you know, and nobody was looking out for them. That's why you're supposed to have a government that has regulation, regulatory agencies looking out for people, making sure that people don't suffer in the process. We still don't have that. The EPA is still full of a bunch of people that put their hand out for a payment. You know what I mean? There are towns across America that have been completely destroyed by corporations. People died of cancer because these corporations, people got nothing. You know, maybe if they're lucky with a large lawsuit to get a couple of bucks a piece, lawyers walk away with most of it. So don't tell me about representation. You know, and the Great Depression was crafted because these people who owned all the stuff, they owned the newspapers too, oddly enough. And you see these media companies like CNN or Fox are owned by very wealthy people, millionaires, billionaires. They put the story out to scare people. They said that the banks were going to go insolvent, or the banks are going insolvent, which means the banks are not going to have any money. You have money in the bank, you're not going to be able to get it because the bank is going out of business. There was no FDIC who was guaranteeing your personal account, right? Like it is now. You know, now you have the FDIC who guarantees if the bank goes under, you're still going to get your money back. Okay, up to $250,000 anyway. So the reality is people ran to the banks. They read these stories. They ran to the banks. They took all their money out of the banks. Guess what? The banks went insolvent because they didn't have any money, no capital to operate. They relied on people keeping their money in the bank. But if everyone takes their money out of the bank, then they have nothing. So the bank goes under, right? And then what? You know what happened? All the mortgages that were written, any of the loans, any of the debt was bought up by the larger banks for, you know, 5, 6, 7 cents on the dollar, literally. Sometimes 2 or 3 cents on the dollar. So all the people lost everything. And the banks ended up with everything because they screwed everybody out of all their stuff. That's evil. And that's the roots. Those are the roots of the business that we are dealing with now. And there are people operating on a different level now, all entirely. Look around. How many people have been foreclosed upon because they can't afford to pay anything at all, you know? And then look at other countries. There are plenty of other countries that have different deals when it comes to buying land. You know, some will give you a lifetime mortgage. So that bank knows that they're going to be making that payment. It's a low payment, but they're going to be getting it, and you're going to still own your property, right? I don't know. There are better ways. But these banks and Wall Street doesn't want better ways. They just want more. They want more. They want more. They want more from you. They'll take everything they can. They don't care if you have enough to eat tonight. They don't care if you can put shoes on your rotten little kids. They don't care if you can have a car that gets down the road safely. They don't care if you can even pay your miserable taxes to a government that will take it and give it to other countries so they can buy weapons and kill people, right? They don't care about any of that. The only thing they care about is F you pay me. F you pay me. It's time to pay me. F you pay me. And that's really how it goes, you know? So I don't want to hear about fears from CNN, especially Dick Fingers Lemon, you know, or anybody like that. I can't watch those people anyway. You know, Juan Williams, who was on The Five, was fired from NPR because he didn't like Muslims. Because this is exactly why. He said he got on an airplane, and this is hypocrisy for you, man. And I'll tell you why. He got on an airplane. He said he saw two people in Muslim garb, as he described it, wearing their uniform, the Muslim uniform. And he was nervous that they were terrorists. And he wrote that in NPR, and he said that on the NPR radio. And because of that, there was outcry. They fired him for being racist. They fired him for being prejudiced anyway, right? So then he gets a job at Fox. He ends up hanging out with Bill O'Reilly. And Bill O'Reilly had him on a few times. He gets a job at Fox. And he's the perfect Democratic patsy, you know, because he's not very swift. He'll go on there. And I'm not being mean or anything. I'm just being truthful. He'll go on there. He'll say a whole bunch of ironically dumb stuff that's democratically based. And then all the Republicans who are surrounding him will, you know, jump on him like a bunch of turkey vultures and pick him apart, you know. And it's like that. And that's their game. That's fun, you know. But the fact of the matter is you're dealing with people. And then he'll go on to defend people. I've actually heard him say more than once that he's chastised people for being afraid of black people, like people who will go on a subway train at night and there's somebody black, you know, and or, you know, four or five guys, black guys who are like, you know, whipping knives around, you know, and that person was afraid. And he's like, how dare you be afraid? And they didn't attack you and whatever. So here's one guy saying, OK, I'm afraid of Muslims are going to attack this plane and whatever. But you're not supposed to be afraid if there's five black dudes with a knife or five white guys with a knife. Or five Spanish guys with a knife, or five Chinese guys with a knife, or five of anybody, or one black, one Spanish, one Chinese, one with knives on the subway 3 o'clock in the morning. You know? Of course you're going to be afraid. You know, 90% of crimes against black people are committed by other black people. And you never hear anybody in the black community talk about it. Instead, it's just a bunch of nonsense. Then I'm reading an article about the Portland Police Department, Portland, Oregon, right? Portland Police, who took a picture. There was a bank robbery, and they had some suspects that they gathered together, and one guy had tattoos all over his face. The police officer took the picture of the guy and photoshopped all the tattoos off his face, even changed his complexion a little bit to match the suspect's description. Then they pulled a lineup out of the pictures only and showed them to the witnesses. And then, you know, and they still didn't pick the dude out. But this is police officers using technology to change someone's appearance to fit a description so they can get an arrest and maybe a conviction. This is scary stuff, you know. This is deep state scary stuff. And you see all the time there's articles about people manipulating video and or taking famous people, even Obama, and making them say things that they never said. And then they circulate them on Facebook and on YouTube and all that around. And then people believe it because it's coming from the horse's mouth. And, oh, my God, I can't believe he said this. You know, or I can't believe that guy said it there. With Trump, it's all true, unfortunately. You know what I mean? I have to applaud that one. With him, he means it. And I don't know. Maybe if he lost his Twitter account, he'd be better off. Maybe if Trump was more like Joe Biden, who can't remember anything. Biden's out there saying he was vice president during Parkland shootings. He wasn't. He's saying that JFK and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were assassinated in the 70s. I'm like, the 70s? That didn't happen. These guys make people say, what? So you know what they're doing to combat the gaffe? They are they're keeping him home. They just figure don't let him talk. You know what I mean? But oh my God, man. So I don't know. I'm gonna end the story with this, end the show, with six people in Fairfield, Connecticut. Six people ranging in age of 62 to 85 face sex charges after being arrested in a conservation area in Connecticut. So police say six people, five men and one woman, and that's pretty much of a gangbang situation. You know, 85-year-old woman, I guess 85 is the new 30, were involved in lewd sexual activity. And the police say that the area was being publicized on the internet as a place for people to hook up. So I guess you got it, man. And the police also set up surveillance. You know, imagine the cop that had to sit there and look at that surveillance tape of these old people getting it on. One woman, five guys? Ouch. Someone's grandma is a hoe, man. But you know what? I don't think they should have been arrested. I think they should get some kind of an award you know, or you should find out what they're eating or whatever, because I want some of that for myself. I will leave it there. This is Michael Angley of Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPR on talkradio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Pass Christian. Say, I will see you next week, baby. Bye.
You must not got my message.
Nope. Once I'm on, I don't look at my phone or anything, so. Hello?
I'm back. I just had to turn that off so it wouldn't echo into my ears. I have you. I listen through one of the other systems so I can hear when you're talking. And for some reason, if I forget or if I move, I can actually put my hand over this computer or this mouse right here, and it'll turn on the mics without actually touching them. It's fucking weird, actually. It's kind of a pain in the ass, to be honest.